Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Pinch punch, start of the week. Doesn't really work, but we'll go with it. It's home time of Bush and Richie on a Monday.
I was looking and thinking, I know you struggle with the grasp of days sometimes,
yeah.
But it blatantly says the 7th of September. What is he on about?
But why don't Mondays get that kind of thing of optimism that starts of a new month do?
Very good point.
Why don't they?
I was about to say, I think we just try and forget that it's a Monday and we just move past it. That's why we don't celebrate them.
That's fine. I'll get back to the drawing board. I'll come up with another one later.
Look forward to that.
Thanks very much.
It's a shame because I've been on the back of a great weekend. Yesterday, I had the chance to see my football team win twice.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Such an Arsenal thing to say.
Yesterday afternoon, I took Rocco down to Brighton versus Arsenal for the opening weekend of the WSL. 12 o'clock kickoff, played at Crawley Towns Ground, and we won 1-0, and then we got in the car and then got back home in time to watch Arsenal beat Chelsea 2-1. It was a wonderful day.
As an Arsenal fan, do you just it's mainly about if you lose, that's a disappointment. Everything... It's just normally winning, isn't it? I can't imagine what your football narrative arc is like.
On aggregate, we won 3-1 yesterday.
That's good.
Well, no, it was great. It was really, really good. We loved it. It was absolutely fantastic.
Well, we went to watch Spurs versus West Ham in the WSL. And yeah, the main thing for me, because it took me three daughters, 4-year-old, 8-year-old and 16-year-old, the atmosphere was absolutely amazing. Mm. So Spurs play at Leighton Orient's ground, which is called Brisbane Road, which is a beautiful little stadium. But it was just really, really nice. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I would never take my two youngest daughters to an Everton game. Just because I remember going to Goodison Park when I was a little kid with my dad and my brother, and I learnt new swear words because I'd never heard anything like that before in my entire life. And you can't beat Scousers when they stand up and give the left back both barrels on the way back.
No.
You know? So it kind of blew my mind a little bit. Also, I don't want to reduce this to a low food level, but I had a pie at Leighton Orient's ground, right, at Brisbane Road. It was a little steak and onion pie, but it had a little tiny badge of Leighton Orient on the top, and you could eat the badge.
That's fantastic.
That was genuinely, I can't stop thinking about it.
I did have a fantastic football ground burger yesterday,
yeah,
at the Brighton Arsenal game, and Rocco, through the first half, went through a tub of candy floss.
I think overall, winning or losing, everyone was happy.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
So we've just been talking about our WSL exploits yesterday, the pair of us in different parts of the country. It's been a big 48 hours. It's going to be a big 48 hours for the Home Time show because Richie and I are off tonight to go to the UK premiere of the Oasis documentary, Don't Look Back in Anger.
Can't wait.
We're both wearing our Got a Day in Court clothes because the dress code is smart, which would be interesting. And it's going to be pretty major, this in Leicester Square, of course. Nolan Liam, I think, are going to be there as well. The great and good. The movie itself is out on Wednesday. It's going to be amazing. So we've kind of got 2 days on it before general release. It's a sneaky peek.
Yeah.
We're getting a sneaky peek.
Yeah.
So we thought we would celebrate this with you guys in this hour of the show. Have a think about this, right? Have you ever had a sneaky peek at something ahead of its release and everybody else gets to see it, do it, taste it, whatever? We'd love to hear about it.
Ian did. He went to America in 2000, was 8 at the time. Doesn't need to brag about that. That's depressing. We watched Toy Story 2, he says. Back then, films like that came out earlier in the States than they did here. So I came back and was able to tell all of my mates at school that I'd seen it.
Wow, I wonder if they believed him. Like, you know what I mean? It might sound like an urban myth.
Yeah.
Jason in Bristol says, a few years ago, I went to see Bryan Adams at the... I think it's the Getting Arena. Is that like a Genting Arena?
Genting Arena, yes.
We got there early and were letting on to wait in the lobby, and my wife could hear a Bryan Adams warming up song before he went on stage. Everyone else had done it at the other end and couldn't hear. Essentially, if you rearrange the words of that text, I think he heard the sound check.
Stilo is hanging on. What was your sneak peek?
The sneak peek I had, mate, I had the McDonald's McCrispy. A good 6, probably 7 months before it was even out into the wild, because obviously they've got to build up the stocks of them. And I do the fork truck training at the company that makes them. We was able to sneak a few out.
Can I be honest with you here? I feel embarrassed saying this. I don't know what a McDonald's McCrispy is.
Oh, man.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my word.
You tried it before everybody else, Stilo. Do you tell me what it is then?
It's like the special McChicken sandwich. It's like the McCrispy chicken sandwich. It was like a one-off. You know, they do these like limited edition burgers every now and again, you know, with different flavours.
Right.
And the McCrispy was one of them.
Now, Now, Stilo, look, I think I need to jump in here and say something. First of all, I am insanely jealous of you because the McCrispy is one of my go-to orders at McDonald's. But the problem that you and I both have here is we are trying to talk to a man who won't touch chicken stuff at McDonald's because he believes that companies should stay in their lane and doesn't believe that McDonald's should have any business doing anything chicken-related.
It's not in its wheelhouse. If you want chicken, go to KFC, Stilo.
Bush, you've never touched a filet of fish.
That's a personal question. Stilo, it's obviously, did you give them some feedback at the beginning then? Was that the thing? They wanted to know what you thought of it, or was it just literally eating the stock?
No, completely the other way. They were sneaked out under jumpers and under the cover of darkness. So it wasn't a known sort of feedback thing. It was a, go on, can I have some of them? Yeah, go on, put them in your bag quick.
Ronald McDonald will be so proud. Good speech, Stilo.
No worries, fellas. Thank you.
Lucy says, I used to work in a cinema and we would have staff screenings in order for the film reels to be tested to ensure the film was being projected correctly. These took place a few days before the film was being released to the public. I managed to see a few epics like The Dark Knight and Wall-E. Also had my heart broken by Indiana Jones 4 and James Bond Quantum of Solace. This is a full circle moment to talk about this, as the cinema would have music playing as we cleaned the screen, which was interspersed by snippets from local radio DJs giving synopsis of upcoming movies, one of whom was a certain Mr. Andy Bush. I remember doing those in Star Wars Return of the Jedi. Luke is entombed in Tatooine.
You should do it again.
I honestly, I am available for that kind of work.
Tony in York used to work for Pizza Hut, a store that was attached to the cinema, and when a new film came out, we would take pizza in for the cinema stuff, and they would in return give us tickets to the staff previews of all the films at the time.
What an amazing deal that is.
Good.
11 these tonight, keep them coming in. We've got Jason on the line. Jason, what was your sneak peek all about?
E.T.
E.T.?
What, is he drinking your local?
He phoned home and I went for a beer with him.
How did you get to see such an epic film so early?
Long story short, early 80s, my father was a buying director for a large wholesale company. Okay. And one of the suppliers was a major tissue supplier. And we got four tickets, Leicester Square, December 82.
Well, but how does someone who supplies tissues, Handy Andy's empire, get tickets to go and see E.T.? I don't understand.
Oh, well, I think at the time, Kleenex had a promotion along with, I think it was Nabisco, they used to do all the cereals. E.T. was massive, if you remember. And I think because of that, they had inroads into the screening and the company and the promotion, and as my father's company were a massive purchase of the supplier, we got four tickets for the premiere. It was absolutely amazing.
Amazing.
I wonder whether there's anyone going to watch the Oasis premiere tonight who is there purely and simply because their dad has the rights to the Balsam cinema tickets for the West End premiere.
Yeah. Well, I've got another story if you want to hear it. I was one of the first in the UK to own a BMX.
We haven't got time to deal with this. You can't just leave a story like that hanging out there. What a character, what a raconteur. Lovely to speak to you. Take care.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Take care.
Cheers, buddy.
Bye. Helen's hanging on. What was the sneak peek you saw, Helen?
When I was about 18 years old, I went to Scotland with my then boyfriend, who's now my husband, and some friends, and we were told while we were staying in Glenlivet that they were filming Braveheart. Just walk down and check it out and see what we could see. And they were a bit lax with their security. So we sat through a field, my friend Claire and I, and sat in a ditch and watched the filming of the wedding scene, reception scene, which happens early on in the film.
Wow, so... So you snuck through the bushes there up in Scotland and saw Mel Gibson getting married in Braveheart as it happened.
No, it wasn't Mel Gibson. It was the one where they come and steal the bride on her wedding night, and that's what triggered him to, do his thing.
So, yeah, that's like a potted history of the whole Braveheart myth. But I like that.
Sorry if you've not watched it. That's now ruined it. But there we go.
Amazing to watch it being filmed, though. Hey.
Absolutely. We were down there for ages in our anoraks because it was pouring with rain in true Scottish fashion.
Brilliant. So if people look really hard when watching Braveheart back, they might see you guys there with your cagoules behind a tree.
They might see a glimpse of us in our cagoules. You're right, yeah.
Just as the credits roll. Girl in cagoule.
Cagoule. Yes.
Yeah, that was us. claim to fame.
Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
Brand new week in this month where we are looking for your help to find the ultimate noughties anthem. We are creating a very special chart celebrating the biggest songs of the decade, and we need your help to vote.
Now look, we wanted to do a series of little phone-ins that rhyme with a particular year in the noughties. Just a little thing we came up with in our little meeting room the other day. It's fun, it celebrates the decade, and it's a personal challenge to see if we can rhyme a phone-in topic with every year in the 2000s. The first one is called What Did You Do in 2002? So all we want to know is, like, what one notable thing did either happen to you or you did in the year of 2002, if you can think back and remember. Richie, can you remember anything from 2002?
2002, local radio breakfast show, used to dress as a chicken, and I would go in every morning at 5 a.m. on a 50cc moped.
Oh my word. Tell me you weren't dressed as the chicken. I think I was in some kind of Super Mario game. Mario Kart. Me, this is a weird one, actually. Got burgled in 2002.
No way,
got
really?
Burgled.
Wow.
Had all my Christmas presents taken.
Oh, that's really sad.
Isn't that really sad?
Well, after I've told the knockabout story of the moped riding chicken.
There you go. You drive past dressed as a chicken. There's me going down.
I had nothing to do with it, officer, by the way.
Well, hold on a sec. If you were trying to, you know, distract people. Yeah, so this is it. It's bittersweet. Isn't it?
Bittersweet. Yeah, it is. Can't believe it. That's such a horrible story.
Isn't it? I'm really sorry to have lowered the tone, but I felt like we had to have breadth. We have to have bandwidth on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything goes. Redman says he got married and divorced all in the same year.
Oh, wow.
This is, at the moment, tilting towards the morose.
We do need some I do hope that some good things happened in 2002.
More chicken outfits, please. Yeah. What did you do in 2002?
Mike says, I took part in an old end-of-season Formula One tradition and surfed down the middle of a Boeing 747 on takeoff while flying back from the Japanese Grand Prix.
I think that's going to be very hard to beat. How on earth does anyone beat that?
It's incredible.
Hi, guys. I once had my wisdom tooth out just to watch an England game due to my boss not liking football. This was 2002, and the game was England versus Argentina when Beckham scored that penalty. That's from Ross in Huddersfield.
This one's awkward. In May 2002, I saw mine and Richie's team win the FA Cup in Cardiff. I was in the Champions League section to see us win the league at Old Trafford and got married to my still wife. I was at that cup final. I forgot about that. I should have said that for myself earlier rather than the chicken on the moped.
Well, at least you didn't get burgled.
Kathy in Somerset says, busy and joyous times. I gave birth to my son Phil in 2002.
I wonder how many Phils there are around at the moment.
There can't be that many.
I know one Phil. You know a Phil?
I don't know a Phil. Oh, no. Actually,
oh, wait, where you said Phil?
No, because halfway through the word Phil, I remembered I do know a Phil, and I didn't want him to be upset.
I thought you had a really affected way of saying Phil.
Phil.
Christian says, I stopped wasting my life in pubs, moved back to my parents, got a job, and set off on the path to marriage, family, and self-employment that I'm still enjoying now.
Oh, I love that one.
Humble brag over there.
And then how about this? I got married in a castle in Scotland, having never been there. I don't remember any of it, and I divorced 16 months later.
Damn it, I want to watch the movie.
What were you doing in 2002-ing?
What were you doing in 2002?
See what I did there, thank you.
Heather from Hampshire says, surely the only event of importance in 2002 is Beckham's redemption goal. An amazing free kick against Greece to qualify us for the Euros. I was able to face my schoolmates, mainly Liverpool, Blackburn and Bolton fans, for the first time since his red card with a smug face. Hashtag golden balls. I remember trashing the lounge to that. It was amazing.
Kelly is in Kent and says, at 18, I met my now husband in 2002. We've been strong since, despite being told we were too young and it wouldn't last.
I feel like there's an axe to grind still there.
It's got a vibe.
It's down the similar line here. Paul says, I met my now wife on a night out with friends in June 2002. 24 years later, three kids, three house moves, a load of amazing memories and experiences. This is despite us both absolutely hating each other's hobbies. Mine is sport, hers is dance music.
This one here sounds like a riddle. So see if you can follow along.
Okay, yeah, right?
Great. This is from Andrea.
Is it brothers and sisters have I none? This man's father is my father's son.
Andrea says, in 2002, I moved from Rutland, the smallest county in England, to Birmingham, only to move back to Rutland 7.5 weeks ago. Andrea from guess where? Rutland.
No offence, that might be the most boring text we've had all night. I don't want the explanation. She's... What's her name again?
Andrea.
She's ended the phone in, that's it. There you go, that's it.
Sorry, Andrea.
Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.